Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the greatest show on the internet, which is Jacques Talks. I, of course, am your host, Jacques Charbonneau, and we're back. It's been about a month. I can't say I'm not without bad excuse for why it took a month for me to do another episode, but that's how life is rolling, baby. So to spare you minutes on end of droning about how, oh, I've been busy and this and that, just know I've been meaning to sit down. So today, finally, Monday, August, 19th, I'm here today with a brand new episode for you guys. So appreciate you tuning in. I'm sorry about the wait, as always. I have to give you a bit of a warning. I do. This past month was a mix of busy with life and a little bit of laziness. Not really wanting to jump into a couple of the bigger topics I wanted, or I still have as episodes I want to do, and also not really having a lot to talk about in life. So kind of just how it's been the last month, but I wanted to sit down and, you know, jump into an episode today. But the point I'm getting at is my next month, I am extremely busy. So hopefully I will find some time in the next couple weeks to do another episode. Maybe give a recap halfway through my month. We'll see. But I've got like four trips or people visiting, four or five things going on in the next month for me. I've got my sister visiting this weekend. Then my friend Julius will be in town. Then I'll be in Texas. I'll be in Michigan. I'll be in Argentina. Kind of going all over the place. I'm a man, Mr. Worldwide, some have been calling me, actually. Or Mr. Countrywide, you know, perhaps. So, got a lot going on coming up here, so just right out the gate, warning you, this might be the only episode for another month, so savor this one, listen in 0.5 speed if you really need, no, I'm just kidding, don't do that. Actually, won't be surprised if some of you listen to this in like 2x speed, because I personally like watching videos that don't really, I'm just listening for, I guess, the content, like a story or whatever, a podcast. Because I can, you can listen like a bunch of times faster than you're used to listening to people talk. So, like, I know some people listen to audiobooks on like 2x speed, and I would listen to stuff from school really fast. So, anyways, my point is, I wouldn't be surprised if people, I don't think anyone's ever told me if they listen to this on like 1.5 or 2x speed. But if you do, no shame in that. I mean, get it over and done with as fast as possible, because I don't like listening to myself either. So if you're putting up with me talking and you're excited to see another episode drop and are disappointed there might be another month before we get the next one, I have to say thank you very much. Without further ado, I'll jump into today's episode. It's probably going to be on the shorter end, like I was kind of alluding to. I haven't had a ton going on in the last month. Been busy with life, with work, Red Sox games, doing stuff with friends on the weekends, but haven't really been up to anything crazy since getting back from Minnesota, which, if you recall my last episode, that was kind of the basis of what I talked about last time, was the different trips I'd been on in the last few, the early stages of summer, my time back home in Minnesota. So it's been a pretty chill end of July, beginning of August here for me. Just going to Red Sox games, mentioned that a couple times, but hanging out with friends, just enjoying a bit of good weather when it's out, and living life, as I've said. So, not really many stories to speak on today. Today won't really be a recap episode, which is what a lot of my episodes tend to end up being, but we do have a topic today that I've been meaning to get to. I've been teasing for a while, since back all the way in March when I dropped my first episode, ranking the states. And so I've teased, people have implored me to revisit the rankings of the states and, you know, maybe give it an update, a refresh, one might say. And actually, since that first ranking, I've actually been to one of the states I had never been to before, which was Maine. And I'd revisited a state I haven't been to since I was very little, which was Tennessee. So where will those states change in my rankings, if at all? I don't know. Where will some of the other states go, which people have given me good feedback on? Made me think a little bit more about the states. You'll have to stay tuned to find out, because I do have a couple stories I want to get to before we get to the state rankings. And then I also have another fun little ranking today that I've been meaning to throw in somewhere into one of these shows, just never have gotten around to it. But it's kind of always been in the back of my mind. It's something I just want to get out there in the open, start a discourse, because people loved the discourse I had with the state's rankings. Or I don't know, I don't think I started a global discourse about the states. But amongst my friends, I know, I was getting a lot of shit for some of the different states and where I put them. So the other thing I'll rank today, you'll have to wait. I'll, you know, we'll stay to the end. I'm going to give you a reason to listen along here. No spoilers, because maybe you don't want to hear my rankings of what I'm about to rank. I'm going to stop talking about what I'm talking about, and let's jump into the stories I have today. Three big stories that I have. And when I say big, they're medium. I wouldn't say big. Three medium stories, and three stories that you, the listener, might have already heard me tell. So I do apologize. These are kind of the hot stories of my last month and a half, month or so. So if you're in my day-to-day life, you've definitely heard me talk about these stories, or maybe mention them in brief, I don't know. Or maybe you've seen me complain about them on my Instagram, because I've been kind of shitposting on my private story there a little bit more often. I don't know, I just got into a habit of doing it this month, because it's funny posting sad reactions to all the Vikings players getting hurt and doing stupid things, and then the Minnesota Twins being the Minnesota Twins and everything else in my life. So I just complain about sports all the time. And so coincidentally, two of these, you could maybe argue three of these stories that I'm going to tell right now have to do with sports. So where else would we go but the wide world of sports? So story number one today has to do with the baseball player Randy Arozarena. Now, if you don't know, he's a fairly, I don't want to say young player, but I believe his rookie season was, actually, maybe he's not that young, because I think his rookie season was back in something like 2019 or so. I think it was like the COVID baseball season, so maybe 2020, around then. So I'd have to say he's probably 26, 27. He's like an up-and-comer. I don't think he's signed a like max contract with any team, but he played for the Tampa Bay Rays for all of his career before he got traded to the Mariners this season at the trade deadline. Now, that becomes important later, but let's backtrack a little bit, because just the name Randy Arozarena probably doesn't ring a bell for most people. Maybe if you know who he is, that would, you know who I'm talking about. But in general, me saying Randy Arozarena, you're like, Jacques, like, how is this applicable whatsoever? Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's no way I didn't talk about the two balls that I've gotten at baseball games this year, at the Red Sox games. Both the balls I've gotten sitting in the stands were in, like, I think both were in the month of May. It was really early in the season. But the first of the two balls that I got was, there was an outfielder playing catch warming up before, it was like the second or third inning, and that outfielder happened to be Randy Arozarena, and he was still on the Tampa Bay Rays at the time. And so I stood up and I yelled, "Randy!" Like when he turned to go throw the ball into the audience, he literally looked me in the eyes and he threw me the ball. And of course I jumped up, he threw a little high, and I hit my hand and I dropped and it fell down. And I was there at the game with my friend Molly. She picked it up, gave it to me. I, you know, waved at him and he gave me the head nod like, "You got it, Chief," like whatever. So really nice thing of him to do. He's just really awesome with the fans. Like, I could tell from that moment and the rest of the game. And I kind of already in general knew that about him. You know which players in the MLB are kind of do fan service, are nice guys, people that fans like. And he's definitely one of those guys. But so it was cool to see that firsthand, get a ball from him. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was nice. Later that game, he actually came over and signed some stuff for some other fans. And I remember thinking during the game, it's like, shoot, it's too bad I don't have like a Sharpie on me, because it'd be cool to go down and get him to sign the ball that he had thrown to me. So I had that thought, and then, you know, it never really went anywhere. But then I realized that later this year, the Rays come back to Fenway Park. And so I was like, oh, cool. Like, maybe when he comes back, I'll bring the ball back to the game. And, you know, maybe he'll come over, I'll get him to sign the ball. I'll bring the ball, I'll bring a pen. It'll be all good. then I realized that when the Rays come back to Fenway Park, I can't go to those that series because I'll be in Argentina. I was like, okay, shoot. I guess it's not meant to be. Anyways, flash forward a little bit. This is maybe like a month ago or so. I had to switch some tickets of mine because I'm allowed to switch which games I go to four times in a season. And this actually might have been those race tickets I had. Or, no, I think this was a different... It was like my Padres tickets I had to switch or whatever. But I decided I wanted to get tickets to when the Mariners were coming to town because that was one of the teams that were visiting the Red Sox that I didn't originally have tickets for. And one of my friends out here is actually a Mariners fan. I was like, cool, so I can switch to a game in this series. I can bring a friend with me who is actually a fan of the other team, and it'll be fun. So when I went to switch the tickets, I actually realized there was two tickets right behind the visitor's dugout in the ballpark for about the same price of the tickets that mine are. So basically when I switch my tickets, I just get Red Sox team like ballpark credit for the value of my tickets, and then I can use that to buy other tickets in the ballpark. So the new tickets I bought were those ones. I decided to get tickets a little bit more close to the dugout. They were like the second row behind the dugout, behind the Mariners dugout, which is my seats are sort of close to the dugout, but not really. Mine are more close to the outfield, like the wall along the outfield down the third baseline. So that's why I was able to get the ball thrown to me from Randy in left field. Anyways, I hope you can picture all that. If not, just know my new seats that I was getting for this game were right behind where the players sit in between innings and stuff like that, where the coaches are. So that was cool. That was going to be fun. And I was excited to bring my friend Anton to the baseball game, to the Mariners-Red Sox game. A couple weeks after I make this ticket swap, Randy Arozarena gets traded to the Mariners. And it didn't even cross my mind at first, but as I got closer to going to this game, which is a couple weeks ago now, I was like, wait, Randy Arozarena's on that team now, and now I'm going to be right behind, you know, the dugout where the players are every single inning. I've seen, you know, players come around the corner and, like, sign stuff for fans, like, before the game and after the game and stuff like that. So I was like, wow, maybe this actually is an even better chance to get my ball signed from Randy. So I was like, okay, this time I'll bring the ball to the game, I'll bring a pen, and, you know, maybe if luck is on my side, I'll be able to get the autograph. So I go to the game, chill out. Like, a couple times I try to get his attention a little bit, but I'm not too aggressive because at the end of the day, I'm an adult. I'm not a kid fishing for an autograph. I'm also not really pro heckling players or saying things to players other than like, hey, go get him, Randy, or, you know, like, when you're like harassing players or being like, Randy, like, sign this. It's just like, I'm a grown man. I don't need to be... that's okay if kids do it. But I'm an adult. I don't need his autograph. Plus, it's, like, out of his way. He's locked into the game. Like, if I was at work and someone was, like, heckling at me to do stuff, like, it's kind of crazy. So, anyways, there was a couple times I, like, tried to wave at him or whatever. Nothing really happened. But funny thing is, it was probably, like, the third or fourth inning. He was coming from the field. They were going to get ready to bat, and he threw a ball over the net because there's a big net in front of like where the fans are to the dugout. So it's to block from foul balls, but also obviously a little bit to block the fans from just jumping into the dugout and stuff like that. But anyways, he threw a ball over, and my friend Anton caught it. So we kind of had a laugh in that moment because it's like, oh, now both of us have a ball thrown to us from Randy Arozarena. So it was cool that he got a ball. I already had a ball. I mean, I was a little jealous, too. It's not like I don't want more baseballs from games, but it was cool he was able to catch it. I was kind of half paying attention, if I remember. I was, like, looking at something else in the stadium, and then he was like, oh, and he, like, stood up and caught the ball. It's kind of funny. Anyways, it's not too important to this story. Later in the game, it's, like, the top of the ninth, so the Mariners were batting, and Randy Arozarena was, like, due up fifth or whatever. So he's just kind of chilling, like, potentially being ready to go bat in case the Mariners start doing stuff, but he's not, like, necessarily locked in the zone, especially because at this point, I think the Mariners were winning, like, 8-3 or something like that. And so during the ninth inning, he kind of just turned around and was looking at the fans, like, giving, like, nodding his head to some people who were like, Randy, hi, whatever. And so I picked up my ball and pen and I shook it at him. I was like, hey, Randy, like after the game. And he like saw me, acknowledged me. And I was like, after the game. And he just like waved his hand at me like, not like you can throw it now. And I was like, oh, my gosh. He sees me. He's like, he's going to sign my ball. And so I throw my ball over the net to him and he catches it. And I take my pen and I throw the pen and I try not to like chuck it because there's not much space between after the net and the field. And the game is literally going on. So I'm not trying to, you know, yeet my pen all the way into the baseball game. So I throw it over the netting and it wasn't a Sharpie. It was a lighter, like, I guess it's technically a ballpoint pen because I personally like the look of like a blue pen on the real baseballs. The like more fake MLB baseballs that are more like soft leather, those like a Sharpie looks fine on, like the pristine white baseballs. But this was like an actual game used baseball because it was the one that Randy had thrown to me earlier this season. And so I wanted it to be in this blue pen. Anyways, I kind of left you on a cliffhanger. I threw the pen. And because it wasn't a big, heavy Sharpie, it was a little lighter, right as it got over the netting, I don't know if it was the wind or whatever, but the pen literally, tumbled back into the netting, hit it a couple times, and then got stuck in the netting on the way down. And so the netting is not, it's pretty high. It's not, like, essentially, it's not you and then a person-high net and then the players. They're down in a little alcove in the dugout, and then there's the netting above the dugout, which is what I had to throw it over. I'm probably doing a terrible job of explaining this. I'm trying to paint the full picture. Anyways, the pen got stuck in the netting, meaning he did not have a pen to sign the baseball. So he kind of chuckled at it and was like, kind of gave me like a weird look, like, dude. And so everyone around me who had kind of seen that that is what happened kind of started laughing at me, and I was a little mad because I knew some other people around me had stuff for him, like that they wanted to get signed. So I knew people had a pen, and I like kind of looked around. I was like, like trying to think of what to do. Randy was just like, he kind of gave me a shrug. I mean, we weren't close enough that I could like talk to him. Also, I don't know, but he like gave me a shrug. I saw him like point it out to a couple of the other Mariners players. They laughed, whatever, and then he like pretended to sign it. So I did like that. At least I have a, I like to say I have a ghost signature now of on that baseball, but he pretended to sign it. He threw it back over. Luckily, I caught the ball, so I got the ball back, but I was so upset because all I wanted to do was get him to sign that ball. And I mean, it was there. It was the one and only chance I might ever get, and the frickin' pen got caught in the netting. So it's my fault for not throwing the pen harder. I don't know. I mean, I sit and live in regret for that moment, like forever, because I just want, I don't know. I literally started like manic looking up, does he do autograph signings? Yada, yada, yada. When's the next time he's going to be in Boston? All this other stuff. I literally DM'd him on Instagram. I was like, Randy, I'm the guy whose pen got stuck in the netting. Is there any way I can get you to sign the ball tomorrow? Because there's a game the next day too. And I was just so distraught. I really wanted that ball signed, and to have it just stripped away from me like that when it was there, I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling of just upset. And I was hoping he'd come back after the game and give me another chance, but he went straight to the locker room. It is what it is. But yeah, that's my Randy Arozarena story. But my friend Anton did point out, as sad as I might be, it's still a fun, unique story. It's a cool ball. I'll still treasure that. You know, I put it in like a little case, little glass case for the ball now. So it's my special Randy Arozarena ball. And the other thing he pointed out is it might be the only ball in existence that was like held by him as both a Mariners player and as a Mariners player. Or did I say Mariners twice? As both a Rays player and a Mariners player. So I do also think that's pretty cool. And like I said, it's got his ghost autograph on it. He pretended to sign it. And, you know, that's almost the same thing, right? His germs are on there. Maybe a fingerprint if I, you know, psycho DNA analyze it or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's the whole story. I should have a Randy Arozarena autograph, but I don't. So tried my best. Maybe next year. I'll probably bring it back next year because I do really want that autograph. So anyways, that's, I think, the bigger, funnier story that I'm sure a lot of you, I've already told that too. So thank you for letting me paint the full picture and walking through that one more time. I will try my best to never remember that story now. I put it out there, and we're just going to hope for the best the next time I cross paths with Mr. Arozarena. The second of my stories is also baseball related. This time it's gambling related. And I'll keep this one more or less brief because I could probably sit and tell a 10-minute version of this story too. But basically, my friend, Anthony, shout out, had a $100 bonus bet for MGM Casino. And he knows that I like to sports bet. I do not sports bet in the hundreds of dollars ranges. Okay. I bet in like $5 to $10 increments when I just really feel like gambling on some... Usually, I like gambling on football the most just because I feel like it's the easiest to. But I like gambling on baseball as well just because I know it, you know, I know it pretty well, pretty decently. I don't know. I pay attention to a lot of baseball, so I like to think I'm decent at it. Lifetime, I'm, you know, pretty positive in gambling. I like to joke, and my friends like to joke that I'm, like, addicted to gambling. I'm a degenerate, you know, sports gambler and stuff. But I don't know. It's just a fun vice, I guess, a little bit. If I was down money, if my gambling was just straight from my paycheck, I definitely would not be doing it because then it wouldn't be fun. But it's fun to risk a little money. Like, all the money in my sportsbook accounts are money I've already won, basically. I put up that risk a couple years ago when I sports gambled the first time. I got really lucky with my first couple bets, and I've just been riding that money pretty much ever since. Anyways, I think I was just saying all that because I don't actually know if I've talked specifically about sports betting on this podcast ever, so I guess that's just a little bit of context because I do sports bet from time to time. That's part of what's fun about sports to me is having $10 on the game and, you know, something exciting to cheer for, trying to win a extra $30 any given Saturday or Sunday. So that's something just to note. I don't know why I'm talking about it so weird. But anyways, clarifying, my friend Anthony had a $100 bonus bet to use. He knows that I bet from time to time. That's where I was going with this. So he originally, the other times I found out, actually, that he had gotten some bonus bets other times. And he pretty much just threw them on crazy, like, 17-leg, long, super long-shot parlays. And so the other weekend, I was like, dude, like, if you get these bonus bets, like, let me or someone, I don't know, figure something out where you're putting, you can put money on long shots, but put it on something that at least has a smidge of a chance to win. Like, don't just throw your bonus bets away. That being said, most of the bonus bets I get, I bet on the same things I normally bet on, and then I lose it anyway. So maybe take my opinions on betting with a grain of salt. But that's what I told him. He said, you know what, Jock? Okay, I'll give you a chance. Next time I get a bonus bet, I will let you tell me what to bet on. But it's got to be something, like, bigger. And I was like, okay, I got you. So it was like a week ago, he got a $100 bonus bet. And he said, okay, Jock, I got a bonus bet. I need you to cook for me. So I got in the lab, I sat down, I went through every game, every pitcher, every player, and I figured out what is going to happen this weekend. I said I was going to say the short version of the story, and I've literally dived into it. That's how Jacques Talks goes. I'm sorry. But anyways, I sat down, I crafted out this crazy six-leg parlay. It was for three pitchers to get over, it was six-plus strikeouts, I believe, and then three teams to win. So it was the Orioles, the Padres, and what was the other team? At this point, I don't even remember. I blacked out. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so it was a six-leg parlay. I give it to Anthony. I actually gave him two parlays. The other parlay was a crazy, like, players to hit home runs. Thank goodness he didn't bet on that one because that one did not hit. Maybe that's a little spoiler for what's to come, but I give him this parlay. He ends up adding two other legs to it, which pissed me off because if he had ruined my parlay, I would have been really mad. But those ended up hitting. Anyways, we hang out that afternoon, and we slowly watch every single one of the the different things I told them to bet on hit. And so ultimately the odds of this bet was plus 2,400. So because he had a $100 bonus bet, the profit from this bet was $2,400. So it was Jacques' big bet. That's what Anthony dubbed it as. And so luck was on my side that weekend. The six legs I told him to bet on, they all hit. And we won $2,400. So I think I posted on, yeah, I posted on my private Instagram story about that as well. So you might have seen me with my big winnings. They actually weren't my winnings. It was my friend's bonus bet. So he won all the money. He gave me a cut for, you know, the insider info. So he did give me a few $100 and bought me all my drinks that night. So very gracious of him. Honestly, he could have given me nothing. I was just happy to be a part of winning him some money and having watching some baseball games and you know, rooting for our outcomes. So it was a very, very fun time, very fun night. And then we tried to run it back this weekend, and the bets I placed this weekend all lost. So we did not have similar results the second week in a row. But the first week, that's all that matters. And my friend Anthony, and he's getting married next year to his lovely fiance, Kiara. They actually, shout out to both of them. However, they don't listen to my podcast. So huge L to them. Doug, I know you'll be listening to this, so you can, I don't know, we got to have some inside joke going where we know about something about them, but they don't know because they don't listen to my damn show. And that's all I got to say. You think how many, they listen to so many podcasts and shows. They can't listen to their friends? I'm just saying. No, I'm very grateful for those who do, and I don't hold it against anyone who doesn't listen. Let me make that, let me make myself very clear. I'm just poking a little fun. I win the man $2,400 and he can't listen to an episode of a podcast. I'm just saying. But no, he's getting married. And so he was saying that that money he won is going to go straight to the videographer. So I'm very honestly grateful and happy that, you know, even before my wedding gift, I will be contributing to that wedding more than most. Just saying. but no, that was a really fun time. And hopefully my luck doesn't end there in gambling, and maybe in my future I'll spit out some more crazy parlays. And honestly, if you're looking to bet on anything in the future, you ever need some consulting, hit my line. I got you. I may not always be right, but usually I'm more right than wrong. So that's all I got to say. If you want a sneaky bet, I'll give you a heads up here. Don't actually bet on this. I like to differentiate between betting with feelings and betting with, you know, my brain, heart versus brain. My heart right now will tell you put a bunch of money on Texas A&M to beat Notre Dame in football in 2 weeks, because the only times I've only seen two Notre Dame home losses, and one of them was to Stanford, one of them was to Georgia, and I've been to probably like 30 plus Notre Dame home games at this point. Maybe a little less than that. Maybe like 25 to 30. But I've only been to maybe 5 away games, and I think they've lost 3 of those 5. So my track record on the road is Notre Dame tends to lose the road games when I go and visit. Other than their really easy games, like a couple of the, actually I've been to more than 5. Like I went and watched us play Northwestern, but Northwestern sucks. I went and watched us play Iowa State in the Camping World Bowl. They suck. I watched us play against LSU. That was probably the best away game I saw us play. But I saw us get killed at Clemson. Or it wasn't at Clemson. It was, actually, what am I even saying? I just don't think we're going to win. I'm so sad. I'm so scared. I'm going to see us play against Texas A&M. That's why I'm going to Texas. And look, I love my teams. I'll root for them till the day I die, but I get so scared because I get let down so many times. I'm just so scared, and I don't know how we stack up against this good Texas A&M defense. So Notre Dame's defense is supposed to be really good too, and I think this is going to be a really tight, close game, and I think those types of games favor the home team with a raunchy environment. So if you want my pick for that game, if you want, I shouldn't say pick. My pick is Notre Dame. Go Irish. But if you want who I would tell you to put money on in that game, put it on Texas A&M. I guess maybe a better way to phrase it is, I would not advise you to put money on Notre Dame in that game. If you're going to put any money on it at all, don't put it on Notre Dame. And I would lean towards the under. That's just my two cents, okay? That's Jacques' gambling advice for the day. That being said, go Irish. We're going to beat them by 20, all right? And I'll be there giving it to the Texas A&M fans. So College Game Day is going to be there that weekend too. So look for me on ESPN. Look for me in a fully Notre Dame geared out. And yeah, okay, I don't know. Actually, I do. I was going to say, I don't know how we got from my gambling story to talking about football, but that's literally the straightest line of all time. Let's talk about our third story. Not really sports related, but I said, I think at the top, you could argue it's maybe a little sports related, not to some maybe, but those who know, who avid listeners of the show will know, I talked recently about my band experiences in high school and in college. Did I talk about it in college? See, I literally recorded those episodes 2 months ago, and I don't even remember everything I talked about. I know I've yet to actually do an episode talking about my college days and experience, which that's one of those ones on the horizon that I've kind of just been lacking the motivation for, but we're going to get to it. But before that, we still have to do a high school episode, because where I last left off on my episodes about my youth, we did middle school. So we still got to do high school. We'll do college. All that will come in due time. Stay patient, listeners, okay? Many, many more episodes of Jacques Talks on the horizon, even though if it's more of a monthly show now than it ever was before. But those who are listeners of the podcast will know I was in band. I did drum corps for a year, which is essentially professional marching band. Now, the big guns, the major league of the drum corps world, they're performances and their competitions go out through this time of summer, so like July and the beginning of August. So the championships were last weekend, and the Blue Coats won. Shout out Blue Coats. But a week before the World Championships, the tour was actually up here in Massachusetts. So shout out to Nicole. Okay, she was the one person who said, sure, Jacques, I'll humor you, and I'll go and watch a drum corps show. A number of my other friends were busy and et cetera, so I'm not actually trying to throw shade or anything, but just want to show love and appreciation to Nicole for, once again, humoring me and going and watching a drum corps show, because I actually haven't seen DCI or Drum Corps International. I haven't seen a performance live since before COVID, since at least like 2019 probably. So it was really awesome seeing some shows live in person again for the first time. I got to see Carolina Crown since, I think for the first time since like 2014, I've seen Carolina Crown. And Carolina Crown is my favorite drum corps. If you don't know who they are, it's okay. This story is like for me alone. I don't think anyone who listens to this podcast knows anything about DCI, because I have not delved deep enough into the lore on this podcast. But basically, I went to a professional marching band show. There was, I think, 7 groups who performed. They were all super amazing. I was definitely blown away. There was a lady sitting sort of next to us who like started having a stroke or something mid-performance, which was kind of crazy. But luckily, the EMTs came over and helped her, and she was able to get up and walk off, you know, under her own power. So happy for her. But that was a kind of a freak thing that happened at the show. But anyways, the best group that was there score-wise was the Boston Crusaders, who got 3rd this year. It was the highest they've ever placed ever as a program. So shout out to them. Might be because I'm in Boston now. Who knows? Might be some correlation there. Just saying. When I marched Minnesota Brass, we got 3rd nationally. So I don't know. Something about me and 3. Chance the Rapper? I don't know. Well, who else is the... I don't know where I'm going with that. Shout out Chance, I guess. Where was I going with this? Yeah, I just wanted to say I went to a DCI show and it was really awesome. And I hope in the future, they usually come out in Massachusetts at least once a year. So hopefully next year I can get some more friends to come with me. If you're interested, let me know. I'll introduce you to the world of drum corps. At some point, I do have to show my friends the really crappy recording of when I was in it. because the Nationals performance was recorded on like someone's, I think it was just recorded on an iPhone. And I mean, you can visually, the show is like pretty cool. You can see all our formations and everything. You can spot me watching the video. But the bummy thing is, because the band is just percussion instruments and brass instruments, the like iPhone audio recording is like so harsh with its capture of the audio quality, because we're not in a studio, we're like outside, and so the way noise travels or whatever, it's the same issue. I know I played some recordings from my summer marching band, like I played like my solo, the Dream On solo in that episode. The problem is it's recorded outside on like a parade, so the echoes of the drums off of buildings and just the way that the brass instruments go through the air, it just doesn't sound, it kind of sounds weird on like an iPhone or simple recording. So all that to say, you know, don't expect too much when I show the video. It's not some crazy professional high definition recording of my show, but you can still see the performance I did. Like I said, I'll have to show my friends out here sometime, because I don't think I've shown many of them. A lot of my Minnesota friends have actually seen me perform in one ensemble or the other. And obviously, you know, some of my friends who listen to this podcast have been in band with me. So there you go. Just excited to report I finally did get out to a professional show again. And it was cool to see them pretty late in the season. The couple of other times I've seen them in my life were in the Midwest. And usually they visit the Midwest pretty early in the competitive season, not a week before the championship. So they were in like peak form. The shows were finished. I got to see the crown at the end of Carolina Crown show, which was super awesome and something I'd never seen live before. So yeah, that's pretty much everything from that day. So once again, shout out Nicole for coming with me to that. And yeah. Okay, let's get into the second half of today's show. Thank you for listening to those three stories. What did that take me? Like half an hour to tell those stories? I thought that was going to take me 5 minutes. So I said today's episode is going to be a shorter one. Yeah, it's not. That's how Jacques Talk goes. That's how Jacques Talks goes. I can't even talk at all. So let's get into the rankings. What should we do first? Should we do the updated version of the states? Or should we... Let's do my other rankings first. Just because I... You know, let's get you... Let's test the waters. Let's maybe warm it up a little bit. Get the juices flowing before I even tell you your favorite state is ranked 27th, okay? Today's top list, I prepared a top 10 list, okay? So unlike the states where there's 50 and there's a finite number of them, this list, there's not a finite number. I ranked my top 10 fast food restaurants, okay? Honestly, the best way to go about doing this is how many people have online previously, which is through a tier list. So S tier, A tier, B tier. But I think those are better visually. If I actually had a video element to this podcast, that's, I think, where I would go with this. And then we could do a little bit of a mystery. You'd see all the different options at the bottom and see where I rank them accordingly. But unfortunately, I'm not a visual podcaster yet, maybe. I think I've talked about in the past, I have some ideas and have gotten some feedback where a video element might be a little fun. So I'm looking into the possibility of that in the future. But for now, we don't have a visual element. So we just have the vocal. So I decided to do a top 10 list. And honestly, I thought about doing honorable mentions too, but there are so many, you know, restaurants I could honorably mention in this category. But I felt let's keep the list constrained to 10. Because I also thought that might be more controversial. Because who's going to get left off of my list? I'm sure many of you's favorite restaurants or top three aren't even going to be on my top 10 list. So without further ado, maybe I'll just jump into it. We'll go with number 10. And number 10, I think we're going to start off hot here. Because I know people love my number 10. Number 10, I have Chipotle. I know... A lot of, I think particularly my Minnesota friends love Chipotle. Like Alex, Noah. Maybe you guys don't think it's like your number one restaurant, but I know you guys like it more than 10. And if you say no, then you've been lying to me. But I think Chipotle's good. I actually didn't like Chipotle for a long time, but I think they make good, you know, burritos or bowls or whatever. But honestly, you just don't have that many options, and it's always been expensive. People are like, oh, Chipotle is so expensive now, and the portions are so small. Honestly, it's always been that way. I remember as, like, a teenager in high school, like, going to Chipotle was like, oh, like, I have to ask for extra money because I'm going to Chipotle. Like, my meal is, like, $16 at Chipotle, even in, like, high school. Now it's, like, $20. Maybe it wasn't 16 in high school, but you get the idea. I could go to McDonald's or anywhere, you know, a cheap restaurant for less than $10 in high school, but not Chipotle. So I'm kind of just saying the same thing over and over again. Chipotle's good, but, you know, not better than 10 for me, okay? Number 9, I have Five Guys. And honestly, Five Guys is there maybe for a little bit similar to what I was just saying about Chipotle. Five Guys is just kind of expensive. But their fries are really good. Their burgers are really good. They make a good cheeseburger, too, which is honestly a waste of money. It's like $5 for a cheeseburger. But whatever they put on those buns and that cheese, dude, I mean, it's just a good... I used to get cheeseburgers when I didn't really like burgers. Or not cheeseburgers. Grilled cheese. Have I been saying cheeseburger? I meant grilled cheese, if I did. Welcome to Jacques Talks, where he doesn't remember if he said grilled cheese or not. But no, Five Guys is good. The fries are bomb. You can get a milkshake. I mean, you got peanuts for free if you sit inside. I mean, it's just a good experience. It's good food. It's a bit expensive, though. I will say it's pretty expensive. But the bonus fries in the bag, I mean, come on. That's worth the money. Okay, number 8, I think is a little controversial. And I'm not too sure if I even like putting this here. But I put Subway at 8. And I think part of my pick for 8 being Subway is it's a bit nostalgic. Like, Subway, I don't know, like, the food isn't that good, but it's always been reliable. And I know their footlongs aren't $5 anymore, but the food still tastes the same as it did when I was a kid and I was getting a $5 footlong. So I don't eat Subway all that often anymore, but honestly, I do like the taste of Subway more than a Jersey Mike's or more than a Jimmy John's. And I know people will die on hills over their sub sandwiches, their fast food subs. I know a lot of people who, like, yeah, will say Subway's terrible. And I will say, a lot of Subway sandwiches, it doesn't even matter what you get on it. It just tastes like Subway. But I don't know. I like Subway. I just do. I like Subway. I think it's the best Subway sandwich on the fast food market. So we've got it at 8. Number 7 was a bit of a toss-up for me because I couldn't decide between two places. I decided to go with Culver's, which is a Midwest fast food restaurant. So those of you who've never been to the Midwest, or maybe it's like the greater Midwest area, they're probably in... I wouldn't be surprised if they're in, like, upstate New York or whatever. Like, I don't think so, but I could see it. But, yeah, they're, like, a more of a Midwest fast food place where they have, like, it's, like, they have a butter burger and fries and crinkle-cut fries, and they have chicken and all that stuff. But they also have ice cream and sundaes and, like, dairy treats like that. So the reason I went with Culver's instead of, I almost went with Dairy Queen, I have to admit, because I was like, we have to capture on this top 10 list at least one fast food place who has, like, bomb ice cream. And honestly, I am obsessed with Blizzards. I really, like, I love Dairy Queen's ice cream, and I like it more than I like Culver's ice cream most of the time. However, the food at Dairy Queen is not good. So, like, on the whole, if we look at which fast food place is better, I'm going to have to give the nod to Culver's. Because Culver's ice cream is just a little worse than Dairy Queen, but its food is, like, 50 times better. So, we're going to go with Culver's in the slot. And if you've never eaten at Culver's, if we go to the Midwest, if I ever take you to Minnesota, whatever, all my friends out here, you've got to give Culver's. Just give it a try. It's like honestly, it's like the Midwest In-N-Out is my best way of selling you on it. Okay, but yeah, number 6, much like I felt obliged to put an ice cream spot on this list, I also felt like I needed to put a pizza spot on this list. So at number 6, I went with Domino's, which is maybe a little controversial as well. I know people don't like Domino's. I don't really know if I know anyone who likes Pizza Hut more than Domino's. But I think Domino's just has the best... It's kind of hard to call it fast food because it's more of like takeout or delivery. But Domino's, to me, it's fast food pizza. And they usually have pretty good meal deals. Not meal deals, but like pizza deals. Like, they have their, like, get any 2 plus medium one-topping pizzas for $6.99. Like, it's a good deal. if I need to get a lot of food for a party or whatever, I mean, it's really easy to just get Domino's. They're everywhere. Honestly, again, I think it's the best tasting pizza kind of in the fast food market. So that's why I went with Domino's there. And if you disagree, let me know. Same with any of these other ones. I'm excited to hear how I'm completely wrong on all this. Anyways, number five, I went with Chick-fil-A. I don't really have any notes. Obviously, I don't always feel like socially the best when I eat at Chick-fil-A, but their chicken is damn good. The chicken sandwich, I used to think, like, why would you get the chicken sandwich when you get the chicken nuggets? But I realized how good. Like, I don't know what they put on that, like, pickles and bun situation, but it's just so good. And their breakfast, Chick-fil-A breakfast is maybe the best breakfast on the fast food market, but it's not going to carry it higher than where I put it today. The other four on this list are just too good for me, so I'm going to put Chick-fil-A at five. Number four, this was maybe the hardest one for me. I put Panera Bread at four. I wanted to put Panera higher. Obviously, if you know me, you know I love Panera. I worked there in high school. I didn't like Panera that much before I started working there, but you work someplace and, you know, you get to know their menu. You get used to the flavors. You get used to having a 65% off discount. You know, you fall in love with the place. And honestly, I will die on the hill that Panera gets less love than it deserves, because it really is one of the only fast food, if not the only fast food restaurants that has both, like, if I just want to eat something that's going to make me feel like crap, just like an absolute fill me up kind of meal, they have it. You can get grilled cheese. You can get big sandwiches with like a bunch of meat and different ingredients on it. You can get pastry items, bagels, like bread, literally anything you want. Scones, cinnamon rolls. You can get all that stuff. You can be a fat ass at Panera. Or you can get a nice little dainty soup and salad. And they're good too. I was witness of us getting the ingredients every single day. I was witness to the bakers baking all of our bread every single night. So Panera's a very wide-ranging menu, and their pastry stuff is good. Will I say Panera's a little expensive? Yeah, it is. Do not get like a banana strawberry smoothie at Panera, because that is like $7, and it's a small little smoothie, and it's not that you know, good enough to be paying that much. So just go get a meal. Like, you can get a U-Pick 2, get a little cookie on the side. I mean, it's just, there really isn't any other fast food restaurant quite like Panera that does it as good as Panera is. There's some, you know, Panera-like places, but a lot of them are regional. They're not as widespread as Panera is. So that's what I got to say. That's my selling point. I love Panera. The chocolate chip muffies are 10 out of 10. No one, if you've never had a chocolate chip muffie at Panera, you cannot talk to me. That's all I got to say. Okay, number three, I think, I've said each one of these might be controversial. I think three might be the one that makes the most people mad, because now we're in the top three and you're like, Jacques, you have not mentioned my favorite place yet. This better be in your top three. And what I'm about to say at three is not going to be, probably not going to be your favorite. And you, if you know me, you probably already know my one and two. So you're going to be mad and you're like, Jacques, why did you put this at three instead of this? So, you know, I'll just say it. I put Cane's at three. I think I go through phases. Sometimes I think Cane's is wildly overrated because their menu is very limited. Chicken fries, coleslaw, bread, Cane's sauce. And then you can make a little chicken sandwich, which is literally just bread and their chicken tenders, okay? I know the menu's limited. You got lemonade too. Lemonade's on the menu. I know it's not food, but got to include it. But something about that chicken, I don't know. The first time I ever had Cane's, I still vividly remember it because it was just an experience. And I think they do chicken tenders. They're a little soggy sometimes. Honestly, if you go to the wrong Cane's location, you're not going to have a good time. And honestly, Cane's is not food you can save overnight. It has to be eaten and fully consumed at the restaurant. It's the only way to do it. That all being said, I don't know. To me, Cane's is just one of those, I save that experience for once in a blue moon, and when I get Cane's, it's Cane's night, okay? That's just how I feel. So if you don't like Cane's, I respect it, but for me, it's number three. Number two, I got Taco Bell. I don't even think I need to say anymore. If you don't like Taco Bell, I'm sorry that you were born with a bad palate, and that's saying a lot from me, okay? But Taco Bell's got every, you know, fake Mexican food you could ever want. I love their quesadillas. I'm like, the quesadillas just do something to me. Their tacos are good. The jalapeno sauce in general. A lot of their other menu items are like not necessarily for me, but I think most of them are good. You got Taco Bell Cantinas. Taco Bell is always open late, or usually is, so you can get some late night food. It's the best drunk food. It's the best. I don't even know. It's just Taco Bell for me is number two. And then, of course, number one, I got to put McDonald's. And I've explained this so many times to so many different people, but McDonald's has gone up in price, but that's just the economy, baby, okay? I'm sorry you can't get your McChicken for like 99 cents anymore. But where else in fast food can you get very consistent and like honestly good quality burgers of any size with, you know, varying amounts of ingredients on it? Chicken nuggets that honestly don't, you're like, maybe this isn't chicken, but it still tastes really good. Maybe the best chicken nuggets in the game. Best sauce varieties, okay? And then we've got rotational menu items, okay? We got the McRib. We've got the Filet-O-Fish. We've got Shamrock Shakes. There's a bunch I'm not thinking of. Oh, you want a play place for your kids? Boom. Oh, you want Happy Meals? Boom. Okay, apple slices. Best French fries, arguably, in fast food. There's a couple others I say compete. But McDonald's, as long as it's not like a little soggy moment, best French fries, addicting. Okay, Diet Coke, sugar in their drinks, boom. Best in the game. Their coffee, boom. Best in the game. Okay, we got a McFlurry. We've got the High C Orange. Like, you tell me you weren't sipping on that as a kid. I'm just saying. All right, McDonald's clears every other fast food in terms of location amount, consistency. Used to be, like, pricing. Taste, I just think McDonald's slaps. And I will die on that hill. McDonald's is the best fast food place. That being said, I'm trying to cut back on fast food. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about fast food so much and I wanted to make a top 10 list. But I haven't had McDonald's in, like, 3.5 weeks. Actually, I can't even say that. Molly convinced me to get McDonald's last weekend after we went out. I was doing really good, though. I hadn't had McDonald's in almost a month. And I just realized I actually broke that. I was drunk, in my defense. But I'm craving McDonald's like crazy. Like, I always want a McDonald's cheeseburger. And I know it's not good for me. It's fast food, but I don't know, man. That's all I got to say. All right, we are approaching the hour mark of my podcast. We haven't even gotten to today's topic. So I think that's good, though, because I don't want to dwell too long. Obviously, I've already done the state's rankings before. So this is going to be a quick little run through. To wrap up the fast food thing, though, obviously that's my top 10 list. That's based on my favorite flavors, my favorite tastes. I'm not saying that that is a objective list. It's very subjective. But if you have strong dissenting opinions especially, I would love to hear them. Much like I'm sure I'll get more dissenting opinions on this state. So, you know, let me hear it. My biggest guess for what people are going to say is I'm strongly guessing people are going to say I put Chipotle too low. People are going to say Subway shouldn't be included on this list. And they're going to say that McDonald's is too high. Those are my three guesses for what people are going to say. I don't think any of my opinions here are very hot takes. But I know people who disagree with me in those ways. So anyways, that's fast food. Thank you for hearing me out. That's my top 10 list. If you like that top 10 list and you want to hear more top 10 lists, I kind of based doing that off of, well, actually, that's kind of been an idea since some of my really old episodes, I talk about like my favorite movies and different favorite things. So I've always kind of wanted to talk about my favorite food because I don't really think I ever had. So that's me tapping into that market. And also, I know the people loved the state rankings. So if you want more rankings, I'll do more of them. Maybe we can get some call-ins in the future. I don't know. I have lots of ideas in my head. None of it will ever fully come to fruition, but we'll see. Let me know what you think. Okay. All right. I have been dancing around this all episode. Let's go to the state rankings. Last time we did this, I went bottom up. I think we'll go top down this time because a lot of the list hasn't really changed. So none of this is going to be shocking or, you know, pivotal, but I think it's better if we go top down and build some, you know, stress that way. Before I do that, though, let me just mention the bottom of the list because this is largely unchanged. So just to recap, the very bottom of the list were all the states I've never been to. So that would be West Virginia, South Carolina, New Mexico, Idaho, Wyoming, Alaska, Hawaii, Utah, Montana, Oregon, Washington, Colorado. So I've never been to any of those states. Now, Montana, I will be going to next year for my cousin's wedding. So shout out, John Paul. I will be getting there sooner rather than later. Obviously, Oregon and Washington have been discussed in length on this show already. So hopefully I get out there sooner rather than later as well, because I feel like I need to. And the rest of those, you know, we'll hit them eventually. So the next numbers on the list, which I also won't include in this kind of top-down ranking, are the states I've more or less just either driven through or stopped for gas or stopped to stretch legs. Like, I didn't stay in these states. And so those would be Kansas, Connecticut, Delaware, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Alabama. Kansas, I'm hoping to get to soon, also within the next year. Going to visit Kevin, hopefully, in not too long, but who knows? He's a busy man. I'm a busy man. We'll see what happens. All right. Let's head back on up to the top. Number one, of course, it's still Minnesota. I'm not changing that. Number two is Massachusetts. Okay, I don't feel like I need to elaborate myself. It's a biased ranking. I think Minnesota's the best state from a lot of standpoints. And Massachusetts, I've just really grown to love. Gives me a lot of Minnesota vibes. Just there's less space here. I mean, Boston's more, you know, bigger and cooler, more historic than Minneapolis. But on the state as a whole, I think Massachusetts does leave you wanting a little more. And that little more is often found in states like New Hampshire and Vermont. So if we were given New England as a whole, I think it could go toe-to-toe with Minnesota. But state to state, it's going to go Minnesota, Massachusetts. So number three and four, I actually have same as before as well. So no surprises here. I don't know what I'm saying. Arizona's at three and New York is at four. So that's just how I feel. I think Arizona's, you know, really fun, cool state that I've visited. And they got the mountains and the desert and lots of cool stuff. Phoenix, Tucson is the two places I've visited and had a really great time down there. And I think just when I think about ranking the states, I just can't. Yeah, I debate putting Arizona a little bit lower maybe, but for now, I think I'm compelled to put Arizona at three. And the New York at four, I think there's a lot of variety in New York between upstate, New York City, the different boroughs. You can go to Buffalo, Syracuse, Albany. You know, there's a lot of stuff to do, and there's a lot of variety and fun throughout the whole state. So that's why I got it at four. Now, number five is where we make the first change. Number five previously was Illinois. But Illinois is no longer in the top 10, actually. So be patient. We'll get back to Illinois later. But I've bumped California up to five, which it was previously eight. And the more I thought about it, I think I realized I didn't give enough love to California. And I think that's just kind of the hater in me, the East Coast purist now. East Coast, Beast Coast, right? But I think the more I thought about it, when I really sat down, I was like, would I rather be in California or Florida? Would I rather be in California or Texas? You know, I was like, you know what? California's the answer to all those questions. And I can't have it ranked lower if I wouldn't want to be in that state right now more than those other states. So we've bumped up California to number five. So we've got Minnesota, Massachusetts, Arizona, New York, California. Then two more in the same spots. We've got Florida and Georgia. I'm high on both of those states, obviously. There's some negative things about both of those. That's why they're not in the top five, but still great, great states, top to bottom. And then for the first time on the list, we've got Maine in at number eight. So I actually had such an amazing time up there. I've actually been up there three times now since I did this ranking in March. And I just really do have to say Maine is a very beautiful state. We were up in Bar Harbor. I saw Acadia National Park, parts of it. You know, I saw the Taco Bell KFC combo up in Maine. I don't remember what city we were in. I've seen Portland a few times now. Like, very pretty views of the ocean. Lots of great wildlife up there. And to me, like, Maine brings out the best of New England, I guess, in terms of nature and just northern attitude and atmosphere. And I don't really know. I don't live up there. I just, like, for me, for this bias list, I'm putting Maine at eight comfortably. I think I was missing out a lot when I hadn't been to Maine. And a lot of people told me that when I revealed that Maine was not a state I had been to. So thank you all for telling me I need to get to Maine, because after I did, I very much enjoyed my time up there. And like I said, I've been up there 3 times now in the past 6 months, so I'm sure it won't be too long before I head back up again. Now, number 9 is Texas. It was 9 previously as well. Number 10, we've got New Hampshire, which was 11 previously, so bumped up one spot. 11, we've got Nevada, which also bumped up one spot. And then 12, we finally get back to Illinois. So after discussion with some friends about where I had put Illinois, I received that criticism well, and I think I overvalued the city of Chicago a lot, because there's a lot of great things about Chicago, very redeeming qualities from a city, but if you look at the whole of Illinois, the rest of Illinois, southern Illinois, like, what's different between that and a lot of the states that I've put in the 20s range? And quite frankly, there isn't. And I know some of the states I have higher, say Florida, Georgia, Texas, a lot of those are also, you know, based largely on the bigger cities, which is what I've visited. But I don't know, the like Arizona, New York, like New York City is so special. But okay, let's take Texas, for example, or let's take Georgia. Georgia's got Atlanta, right? But I think the southern charm, or like the distinctness of a lot of the rest of Georgia, is distinguishable enough from the states around it. Like, Georgia has its own charm compared to Mississippi and Alabama, in my eyes, in my experiences in Georgia. Maybe I'm wrong, like, on the whole. But, like, southern Illinois, you couldn't tell the difference between southern Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, like, all those states. It's the same Midwest. Or Texas, right? Like, Texas as a whole has its own, like, southern, like, a different southern, like, southwest charm, but it's different. Does that make sense? I don't know. So, you know, Chicago does carry Illinois far, but not into my top five, which is where I had it previously. So, Illinois is at 12. 13 is Indiana, which I also bumped down a little bit because, you know, this is a biased list, but I realized it was a little too biased, okay? Notre Dame, South Bend. I mean, Indianapolis is a fun city too, but I can't have it carry into the top 10. Indiana is still Indiana. So we've got that at 13. 14, we've got Vermont, which is actually a change. I did more thinking, like, upon thinking about Maine and why I put Maine where it is, I realized Vermont can't be as low as it is, because a lot of the reasons I like Maine are a lot of the reasons I like Vermont as well. And same with New Hampshire. New Hampshire is at 10. So Vermont was at 24. I've bumped it up to 14. So we've got that there. South Dakota's at 15. It was at 13. So South Dakota, I slotted down further to make room for Vermont and Maine moving up above it. Because I realized, you know, lots of good things about South Dakota too, but on the whole, would I rather be in the nature of South Dakota or the nature of the New England area? So that's where I decided to make that distinction. 16, I've got Washington, D.C., which slides back from 14. Kentucky, I have at 17. It was at 16. And then here's the big shocker. Okay. At 18, I have Tennessee. Now, Tennessee used to be at 27, which is pretty close to the bottom of the states I've visited ranking. So Tennessee's the biggest jumper we have. I loved the 4 days I spent in Nashville. I spent some time in other parts of Tennessee as well. We saw Tullahoma. We drove through the more northern part of Tennessee, so I kind of got a feel for the whole state as well. And I really have to say, Tennessee does have, it's a fun time. I really did enjoy my time there. Obviously, this is a very recency bias, but like, I am low-key itching to go back. It was that much fun. Like, I want to go back to Tennessee with other friends. Like, I had such a fun time with my one group of friends. Like, I want to experience that same fun experience with, so, you know, another group of people. Like, I feel compelled to show people Tennessee, because I know not everyone has gotten to go and experience Tennessee. So I just felt I had to move it up. So it was 27. Now it's 18. And I feel pretty comfortable putting it there. So number 19, this is actually, I think, the biggest jump of them all. And I know right now Doug is crying because we've made it to 19 and New Jersey still isn't listed. So I'm sorry, I still couldn't put it higher than 19th, but New Jersey, this is where I've put it on the list. So New Jersey previously was 32, and I it was like at the bottom of my list. And I got a lot of feedback, a lot of criticism, specifically from Doug, about how New Jersey is extremely underappreciated and misunderstood. And I heard him out, and I agree. I think New Jersey, the couple of times I've been there, I did not have the greatest experiences. But he made some valid points about, you know, its region, its versatility, the different experiences you can have in New Jersey. And quite frankly, I have not had those experiences, but I take Doug's word and Anthony and Kiara and my friends who have been to New Jersey more than I have. And so I'm willing to stretch the hand a little bit and bump it up to 19. Until I have some personal better experiences in New Jersey and have some real life, you know, anecdotes, I don't think I can put it higher than the states on this list. Because the states I have higher right now, I have like living, loving experiences in those states. And I can't say the same about New Jersey. So, Doug, Anthony, anyone who's listening who has connections to New Jersey, if you want to bring me down, yeah, I mean, you don't have to bring me down, but let's go down to New Jersey sometime. You can show me some of the best spots, and I'm open to being okay with it being higher on my list, but right now I just have to keep it at 19. I will say a part of the reason it's bumped is because I've been watching The Sopranos as well, and that show has changed my opinion on New Jersey a lot. The Italians, okay? So if it wasn't for The Sopranos, it might still be in the 20s. Who knows? But it jumped from 32 to 19, so what can I say? Maybe next time it'll jump all the way into the top 10 when I redo this list in another 6 months. Who knows? You'll have to convince me. Okay, you got to show me, though. Next few states are largely in the same location. North Dakota, I've got at 20, down from 17. Mississippi at 21, down from 18. Michigan at 22, down from 19. Louisiana, 23. And then probably the biggest dropper at all today, and I'm sad to say, is Ohio. I've got it 24, used to be 15. And I think for the opposite reason why, or the same reason I dropped Illinois, is the same reason I had to drop Ohio, because, you know, shout out my friends in Ohio, John and Shannon especially. I love Cincinnati. I've loved the times I've briefly visited Cleveland. I drove like through Columbus, I think, once. Like, there's some charm to Ohio, and I really do value and treasure those cities. But like, Ohio as a whole, I think I decided to overlook how trashy Ohio is the first time I did these rankings. But when I take a step back and think more about it, I just can't put it higher than a number of these other states. I'm sorry. So Ohio, we've slotted back to 24. Wisconsin, I've got at 25. Missouri at 26, Nebraska 27, North Carolina 28, Maryland 29, Virginia 30, Rhode Island 31, Pennsylvania 32, Iowa 33. So the rest of the states are the drive-through and haven't been to states. So that's my full list. So I don't know if I should reread this. So it's like Minnesota, Massachusetts, Arizona are the top three. And then I'm not going to reread all these 30. You got the idea. So that's my list. What do you think? I don't know. Did I do a little better, I think, this time? Can we all get behind maybe my rankings a little bit more? I don't know. I think there's only so much discourse we can do, especially me just sitting here running through my list. So that's what it is. I don't know. This maybe wasn't as fun as it could have been. I don't know. Should I have done it the other way? I don't know. Give me your thoughts. Let me know what I screwed up on. Is Ohio still too high? Is New Jersey still too low? What did I do with Illinois? I don't know. Should it still be in the top 10? Should Minnesota be number one? Give me your thoughts. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Is Nebraska too low? I've got some. Julius, now that you've been in Omaha, what do we think? Nebraska too high? Too low? I don't know. Let's run it back in 6 months. No, I'm just kidding. We probably won't do this again. But if people like the top 10 lists, the rankings, I'm okay to do more. I like doing rankings. I've got opinions, and I'm happy to share them. I'm happy to discuss. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the show today. I said, once again, I said it was going to be a shorter episode, and we're like over an hour now. So if you listen to the whole thing, I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in today. Like I said at the top of the show, got a busy month, so my next episode might not be for another month, but I'm sure my next episode will be recapping on all the exciting and fun stuff that I've got going on for the next month. So be prepared to listen to me rant about some football games, some South American fun little Argentina trip stories, and I don't know, it'll be about the end of the baseball season as well. Who knows what'll have transpired in my Red Sox world in the next couple weeks as well. Who knows? But hopefully we'll be getting some guests on again too. It's been a little while since we've done guests. I'm itching to get some more people back on the show. Julius, as I mentioned before as well, he's going to be here in a couple weeks, so maybe we'll run Julius back on the show if we find some time. I know we've talked about that before, so don't be surprised if we get Julius back on the pod. Maybe that's something to look forward to. And, yeah, other episodes in the pipeline. Just got to find the motivation to do them. And you can heckle me. I deserve getting harassed for not always being the best about posting, but whenever someone brings up, like, oh, Jacques, it's been so long since you made your last episode, like, I do appreciate you saying that. I deserve being heckled. It means a lot to me that you want another episode, and hopefully as the weather starts getting colder and I'm stuck inside for more of my afternoons, I will find that motivation to cook out episodes at a more frequent basis. So enough rambling about posting and not posting, whatever. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Excited to hear if you guys have any thoughts about my restaurants or my state's rankings, or if you just want to give me shit because, I don't know, I deserve it. I don't really know. Anyways, thanks for listening. I will see you guys in the next episode, or you'll hear me in the next episode, I guess. Anyways, love you guys. Have a great week. Peace out.